to always remember what the Lord has done for you. And then I've read the book. I've read the Psalms where God's salvation is rehearsed so many times. And sometimes it's just good to just take a moment and just remember what you've been saved from. Without the Lord, some of us in this room would be in really bad shape. Without the Lord, some of us in this room wouldn't even be alive today. We'd be lost and hopeless and maybe physically dead on a curb in some, behind some dumpster or something. But God sent his only begotten Son that we could have life. And now look, he actually uses us. He actually uses us to draw people to him, to sing songs. And we're not the best people in the world. We're not the best singers there is. But he's poured his grace upon us. And he uses us that we might help people see Jesus, that we might sing songs that speak of his goodness. And so let's sing that song again. Just very, very simply saying, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you for making me whole. Thank you for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich. And yet, to me, it was free. I didn't have to pay anything. You guys know how it works. It was very expensive. It wasn't truly free. But you didn't have to pay for it. I didn't have to pay for it. It was given to me. And now I have eternal life. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you for making me whole. Thank you, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. Father, I thank you for a beautiful morning. It's kind of cool out there, kind of crisp. It sure is a beautiful blue sky, and the clouds are beautiful, Lord. And just reminds us that you're ever present with us. Your eye is upon us. And if you care for the sparrow, and if you clothe the lilies of the field, then we have nothing to worry about. And so, Lord, I thank you. I bless your name. I pray that you'll be here in this room with us as we talk for a little while. And I pray that you'll be with Holland and that you'll be with Chuck as they talk to the other groups. And Lord, I just, more than anything, just thank you. This is more than we deserve. We bless your name. And Lord, we honor you. We honor the true and living God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our salvation. We bless your name, Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, you know what? You guys are spread out kind of thin. Would you mind if I inconvenienced you just a little bit to come a little bit closer? Because it sure is a big room. And we can draw just a little bit closer. That makes it easier for the guy who's talking to kind of address the whole crowd. I always like to say thanks to, you know, the technical crew. They do so much work in an event like this. They are the first ones here, and they are the last ones to leave. So why don't we give it up for all the technical crew. There's the sound guys. There's the technicians. There was a concert last night and all this kind of stuff, and they have to strike the stage and set up and the video people upstairs that are doing the lyrics and stuff. We have to send them the songs early, and they have to get it all in order. And Callie back in the office, and the sound guys, and you know, I just appreciate all their hard work, and this team, Jason, you should be very proud. You've got a great team, so praise the Lord. Thank you guys. But you know, of all the jobs, it seems like these camera guys, don't they have a fun job? Huh? If you had an opportunity to, just for a minute, to be a camera guy, how many of you would want to be a camera guy? Yeah? Really? You, the lady in the green in the back, you would? Why don't you go over there? Just go ahead and take control of that camera. Just go right over there. Anybody else over here? How about this guy in the pink? Just ask him to step aside and give them a 20-second, like, how to focus and how to zoom and all that kind of stuff. Because, see, all these people think it's easy. Oh, go ahead. He's taking the long way. He must be a guitarist or something. What's wrong with you? Oh, you're a keyboard guy. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. There you go. Give him the headset. Oh, look at her. Look at her. She's a natural. Over here. Don't get nervous. Okay, now you got to let go. Let her drive. There you go. That's pretty fun, huh? She's saying, I want to go to a big church with a camera. And this guy over here with the headset. Okay, tell me when you're in focus. I'm going to stay still. Just so you don't get nervous. Pretty good. The people upstairs are nervous. Who's on? You're on? Hi. I'm blurry. What's wrong with you? There you go. Okay, I'm going to walk now. I'm going to walk slowly. Look at that. Huh? Huh? How about over here? Switch it over to the lady over here. Hi, lady. What's your name? What's her name? Beth? Are you nervous, Beth? I'm coming at you, Beth. I'm going to get you, Beth. Hi, Beth. Can you focus this close? Come on, Beth. You're losing me. Beth. Come on, Beth. There you go. Is that fun, Beth? Why are you shooting the backside of me, Beth? That's the better side? Are you guys having fun back there? They're not having fun. Can we have a couple of other camera people? Are you guys having fun? Look, I give you the... you're having fun. What's your name? Beth? Where are you from? Portland? They name guys Beth in Portland. What's wrong? I've always heard funny things about people in Oregon. Hey, let's hear it for these two guys. You've been great sports. All right. That's fun, huh? It's fun to do stuff like that. Oh, man. It's all about relaxing and having a good time, huh? Jesus said, I've come that you might have... Oh, there was one cameraman holding out on us. What's your name? Eric? Darren? You don't know your name? Darren. What's your middle name, Darren? Aola. Darren Beth? Darren Aola. You're kind of a young guy. Are you good at that? Yeah. Really? Turn on his camera. Let's see how good he is. He can't find me. No. You got to get a tight zoom. Find me. Where are you? I'm over here. Oh, man. Hey, open your Bibles to Numbers chapter 30. You guys are all musicians, so I'll remind you, that's in the Old Testament. Just having a little fun this morning. I'm told that we don't have to adjourn till 10:15, so I'm not going to talk for that long. Somebody said amen. My bad. Make it Exodus chapter 30. Have you guys enjoyed the conference so far? Yeah. Yeah? That's good. Our prayer is that you'd be blessed. Our prayer is that you'd be encouraged. And our prayer is that we can give you a little bit of something that you can go home with that'll bless your ministry and that'll bless your people. That you might in turn bless the Lord. That you might in turn honor the Lord with what you do, with your gifts and with your talents and with your ministry. And there are things that are hard to say. There are things that are difficult to explain. Not long ago, I thought it was time to have the talk with my oldest son. He's now 12 years old, and this is sometime last year. And so I told my wife, I think it's time that I have the talk with Jason. You know the talk I'm talking about, right? Like, you know, that talk. And So I told my wife, I'm just going to take Jason for a little drive and have a little man-to-man time. And I think, you know, I'm feeling that it's time. So Jason climbed into the car, and I'm at the driver's seat. And so we're getting a little bit of ways. And how's it going, Jason? Oh, it's going good. Yeah, and we're kind of connecting. I said, well, Jason, do you ever wonder about certain things that, you know, that adults do and stuff? And so he says, yeah. I said, well, you know, I just want you to know, little guy, that if you ever have any questions, if there's ever something you wonder about or anything you and your friends start talking about, just feel free and you can always come and talk to Dad. And I'll answer any question you have. And but, you know, I thought I'd ask if you want right now, you can ask me right now. I mean, is there anything that you've been wondering about, anything you're curious, anything you're feeling or anything like that? And I could see that I was connecting with him. And his eyes were kind of getting serious, and he was kind of looking at me, and his hands were a little bit twitchy. And so I could feel it. I was connecting with him, and this was going to be the day. This was going to be the moment. So, Jason, I just want you to know, whatever it is, you can talk to Dad and whatever. And so go ahead and ask me, is there anything you've been wondering about? And so he says, yeah, Dad, as a matter of fact, there is. And I could feel it. I had set it up just right. I was sensitive, and I was being led by the Holy Spirit. You know what I mean? How us anointed guys are. It's just flawless. And so I was locking into the little man, and I said, well, Jason, fire away. What is it that you've been wondering about? And he says, well, Dad, and I knew it was coming. It was the perfect setup. And he says, Dad, I've been wanting to ask you. Yes, son, go ahead. How do credit cards work? I did tell him how credit cards work. That was his main concern. It wasn't about a year later that we had to talk about the birds and the bees. Exodus chapter 30. Exodus chapter 30, beginning in verse 17. The Lord said to Moses, make a large bronze wash basin with a bronze pedestal. Put it between the tabernacle and the altar and fill it with water. Aaron and his sons will wash their hands and feet there before they go into the tabernacle to appear before the Lord and before they approach the altar to burn offerings to the Lord. They must always wash before ministering in these ways, or they will die. This is a permanent law for Aaron and his descendants to be kept from generation to generation. Verse 22. Then the Lord said to Moses, collect choice spices, 12.5 pounds of pure myrrh, 6.25 pounds each of cinnamon and of sweet cane, 12.5 pounds of cassia, and 1 gallon of olive oil. Blend these ingredients into a holy anointing oil. Use this scented oil to anoint the tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant, the table and all its utensils, the lampstands and all its accessories, the incense altar, the altar of burnt offering with all its utensils, and the large wash basin with its pedestal. Sanctify them to make them entirely holy. And after this, whatever touches them will become holy. Use this oil also to anoint Aaron and his sons. Sanctify them so they can minister before me as priests. And say to the people of Israel, this will always be my holy anointing oil. It must never be poured out on the body of an ordinary person. And you must never make any of it for yourselves. It is holy. And you must treat it as holy. Anyone who blends scented oil like it or puts any of it on someone who is not a priest will be cut off from the community. The text that I want to concentrate on this morning is that text that refers to the anointing oil. Not over the accessories or the tabernacle or the different utensils. But the fact that God had a prescribed anointing oil instructed specifically to Moses that it should be poured over Aaron and over the priests, over his sons. It was very specific to represent God's anointing, God's holiness, God's stamp of approval, God's call, God's certification of these men. And it was so special that it was for Aaron and his sons only. It was not to be duplicated. It was not to be poured on anyone else except for Aaron and his sons who were priests. God is very specific. And God meant real business here. And he said, it is holy and you must treat it as holy. Anyone who blends scented oil like it or puts any of it on someone who is not a priest, God was so serious about this that he'd say, we will cut them off from the community. Aaron and his sons were called to be set apart for the work that they were going to do. And my word for you this morning is that God has called you. God has placed a certain prescribed, a certain recipe of oil, of his anointing, of his calling upon you. When I refer to God's anointed, you would probably not think of yourself at first. You might think of our great heroes of our time, Chuck Swindoll or Chuck Smith or different great Bible teachers. You might think of your senior pastor of, okay, well, that's God's anointed. You might think of the men who are standing up here to teach us, these are God's anointed. But I'm telling you this morning in the name of the Lord that as a worship leader, as one of the people that's been called and chosen to lead whatever size congregation you minister to, you're the person that God has called to lead those people to his throne on Sunday morning. I want to encourage and tell you this morning, God has placed a certain perfect recipe of anointing oil upon you. And you, 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 and you. God has called you. God has anointed you. And God has a specific recipe for you. We're all a little bit different. And that is something that as musicians, as singers, we often struggle with. I think maybe I have the license to say it this way because I myself am a musician and I deal with probably many of the same things that you deal with. It's just our temperament. We're sensitive. We're, by and large, we're not highly disciplined and we're temperamental and emotional and many are insecure and it's just our makeup by and large. It's so easy to look at somebody else and how well that person sings or how well that person plays their instrument. Boy, that other guy, he sure writes great songs and I don't write songs like that. And it's so easy. We often are tripped up by that tendency to compare ourselves with what that other person does. Now, granted, they may do it very well, and God's anointing may be upon them, and God's blessing, and God uses them. But we can often become distracted to the point where we see ourselves as anything less and less useful and less manageable in the hands of God. And I want to encourage you this day. And at the same time, I want to exhort you to be mindful of the fact that if you go too far in that area, it becomes hurtful and offensive to the Lord himself, because God has selected you. God has given you a gift that he hasn't given to most people. God has given you hands and an ability and ears that he has not given to most people. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, he said, what do we have that hasn't first been given to us? Whatever gift, whatever talent, whatever ability, has it not been given by the Lord to you? And we so readily, boy, I can't play piano the way Jason does. Well, you know what? I'm not supposed to play piano the way Jason plays. I'm supposed to play piano the way Art is supposed to play piano. The way God chose me and the way God called me and with the hands that he's given to me. What voice has God given to you? What ability, what aptitude, what level of talent has God given to you? That's what God has given to you. What heart and what desire has God given to you? Be faithful with it and be grateful for it. And don't try to slough it off on somebody else, and don't hurt the Lord by comparing yourself and whining because you can't sing as good as she can or whatever. And there's two main roads that you can go down that are pitfalls for you. One of those roads is the road of feeling so sorry for yourself because you're not as good as or as accomplished as the next person. And it hinders the exercising of your ministry. The other road that you can go down is that dreaded disease that strikes us all. The dreaded P word that is the most vicious disease that strikes us as musicians and artists. Pride. I'm not sure I've ever been to a conference where that issue is not addressed, and it's probably with good reason. The first fallacy is feeling sorry because you are not what that next person is. That's correct. You are not what that next person is. And you show up and you feel, I feel so unworthy. Well, you are unworthy. You don't deserve this. And we would all agree, even now as I'm speaking, I see people's agreement with what I'm saying. And yet when the solo is given to the other girl, it's, whoa, now it's hit home. When somebody else gets the call, now we feel insulted or offended. Hey, it was never yours. It's never been yours. God is the one who raises men up. God is the one who brings men down. There's a beautiful psalm that was written. And it was Psalm 139, where it says, oh Lord, you have examined my heart, and you know everything about me. You know when I sit down or when I stand up. You know my every thought when it's far away. You chart the path ahead of me and tell me where to stop and rest. Every moment you know where I am. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You both precede and you follow me. You place your hand of blessing upon my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to know. And then it says, I can never escape your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you're there. If I go down to the place of the dead, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in the dark, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are both alike to you. And then I want you to listen to this part very closely. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous, and how well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was even born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. And now listen to this. How precious are your thoughts toward me, O God. They are innumerable. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up in the morning, you're still with me. I like how the psalmist says, you made me. David says, you were putting me together in my mother's womb. You know how it was all going to work out. Every day, you know how it's going to be for me. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it. And then I love it when he goes on to say, and your thoughts toward me are precious. They're so wonderful. You're always thinking nice things about me. And they're innumerable. Jeremiah's called to be a prophet. And he starts whining. I don't know if I could do this, Lord. I'm just young and man and like that. And what did God say? Get up, little guy. Do what I've called you to do. Don't look at the people's faces. I will be with you. And now we call him a major prophet. There was nothing major about him when he started. He was scared and he was young. Oh, how about the other guy? How about the other guy that has to fill in for Moses' position? Because Moses is dead now. The great champion who led the children out of Israel. 2 million and something Jews out of their captivity from the ruthless, Egyptians. And he led them across the desert for years and years. Boy, that guy was a leader of all leaders. But he's dead now. And now it's Joshua's turn. I don't know if I could do this. I'm no Moses, you know. And what did God say? Get up, little man. Be strong. Be courageous. Adhere to the law, and I will be with you. I will give you success. I will be with you. Be strong and courageous. And three times, God has to repeat himself. Why? Because he had to repeat himself three times. You know how it is. You know how it is to feel like you're underqualified or you're not as accomplished or as experienced, and you can self-defeat. And God is telling you this morning, rise up. Rise up. Don't be apologetic. Don't stand up here and in an effort to like not be noticed, you're just kind of not moving and you're grimacing and like that. And haven't you been forgiven? Isn't there a reason to lift your hands and put a smile and look up toward heaven and express yourself? Nobody's asking you to disrobe and put on a little linen thing like David did and dance around like a lunatic. Nobody's asking you to do that. But you know what? I'm not going to hell. Well, somebody over here was happy about that. I'm going to live forever. I'm a child of God. I have a reason to sing. You guys know what the NAMM Show is, right? NAMM Show is the National Association of Musical Merchants. They have a big convention in Los Angeles every year. Huge. All the different music makers, they display their new gear, and there's always celebrity musicians there. A couple of years ago, I was there. And during one of the lunch times, they had some jazz group, some big name somebody, and he had his combo band, and they were just jamming, and they were just going all over the place, and they were playing and that kind of thing. And the rest of us were eating our sandwiches and whatnot, and I was with one of the guys from the band, and it got me angry. It made me angry. Allow me to explain. This whole band, I mean the drummer, the bass player, the guitarist, the keyboard, the horn player, they had a percussionist. They were all great. I mean, they were shredders. And they're all playing their music and they're just jamming and all this kind of stuff. And as I was leaving, I was talking with one of the guys from the Sunday Drivers. I was saying, this isn't music. I come to the NAMM Show, the greatest musicians convention in the world, and this is what they have to offer? They call this music? I don't see anybody being moved. I don't see anybody dancing. I don't see anybody being drawn to tears. I don't see anybody's emotions being touched. This isn't music. This is a poor excuse for music. This is just notes. This is just a show-off session. And yet in church, people will look at us and say, gosh, man, you're good enough to be professional. What is that nonsense? I want to encourage you that you are giving life to people with your music. You're leading them to the throne room of God. And they're coming in hurting and confused and in pain. And with your simple music, maybe it's just you and your guitar. And maybe you got a couple of singers that they're not really good. But you've got your whole heart in it. And you're playing music unto the Lord. And you're drawing people and you're making a difference in their life. And all these hot shots at the NAMM show couldn't touch you. And you're feeling sorry about yourself. And I say today, rise up. Amen. Be strong and courageous in the Lord. Amen. If God was with Jeremiah, if God was with Joshua, if God was with Aaron, I say to you this morning in the name of the Lord, God will be with you. And you may not be a Phil Kagi. You don't need to be. God doesn't need a Phil Kagi at your church. God needs you. God's calling you. You may not be a Celine Dion, a Mariah Carey. You don't need to be. God doesn't need them. God needs you at your fellowship. Rise up. In the name of the Lord, God has a perfect prescribed anointing oil that He's placed upon you. Are you scared? It's okay to be scared. Just go to the cross. He'll lift you up. Are you nervous? Are you struggling with being insecure and not being good enough? I understand. I have the same feelings. Just come to the cross. Are you busy comparing yourself and you're thinking, I can't quite do it? That's okay. I understand. I've been there too. I visit that place quite often. Just come to the cross. Paul said, I've discovered a wonderful secret that when I am weakest, it's when I'm strongest. Because now it's His oil that's taking effect. And I say to you this morning, be strong and courageous. Rise up. God has called you where you're at. There's a second road that we walk down that's every bit as painful if you walk down it. The great writer Solomon, one of the smartest, sharpest guys who's ever lived, he said, I've noticed one thing. That pride seems to come right before a big boom. Right before a big fall. Man, you can set your watch. You can set your clock. A person becomes prideful. And you better cover your ears because it's going to be hard and it's going to be painful. Whatever gift God's given to you, realize it's a gift. Whatever grace and anointing God's given to you, realize that it's His grace. In case you were thinking something different, you don't deserve it. You're not good enough for Him to actually call upon you. It's Him who's chosen you out of His goodness, out of His mercy, out of His grace. And He's said, I'm going to call you to this little church and I'm going to use you in the body life and in the worship life of this church. But it's Me. It isn't you. And I don't know how it is that we go wrong, but we so often, I guess we just start taking credit for ourselves. We just do. Get a couple of compliments and instead of just enjoying the smell of the perfume, we take a drink of it. That'll be the beginning of the end. God said, I want you to concoct a certain recipe of oil for Aaron and his sons.